Radio Daily for finally Frackin' Friday. We've worked so long and so hard to get to this fantastical moment. Fantastic and magical at the same time is Mantastical, which is a movie I accidentally rented 17 or 18 times. Hi, welcome to October 12, 2018. Tis the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com, and well, folks, I should say that because of this unexpected guest named Michael, it's knocked out some internet a little further south for me. So that means that normally I would introduce you to somebody, but now I will simply tell you that I am the wonderful Billy Flynn. That's all right. We've been doing this a while. I think we can get through it. This day in 1492, Christopher Columbus's expedition makes landfall in the Caribbean, the Bahamas, really, and he thinks he's reached the Indies because he wasn't that smart. 1582, because of the implementation of the Gregorian calendar, this day also does not exist in this year in Italy, Poland, Portugal, and Spain. So I'd really love the doctor to go back to this day. That'd be fantastic. 1692, the Salem witch trials are ended by a letter from Massachusetts Governor William Phipps, who should have got to that a lot damn sooner than he did. 1773, America's first insane asylum opens for persons of insane and disturbed minds in Virginia. Appropriate. 1799, Janine Genevieve Labrosse is the first woman to jump from a balloon with a parachute from an altitude of 900 meters. Those that jumped 200 didn't have a good day. 1810, first Oktoberfest. Nope. 1810, the first Oktoberfest. The Bavarian royalty invites the citizens of Munich to join the celebration of the marriage of Crown Prince Ludwig of Bavaria to Princess Teresa von Schleswig-Holstein-Gaschen-Sachsen-Naba. I got lost there. 1847, German inventor and industrialist Werner von Siemens founds Siemens & Halske, which later becomes Siemens, the largest engineering company in Europe. Siemens. 1923, Axel Peterson and Arnold Poulsen demonstrate their patented sound film system using two interlocked machines, one for picture, one for optical sounds, at the Palads Triat in Copenhagen. 1928, an iron lung respirator is used for the first time at Children's Hospital in Boston. 1964, the Soviet Union launches the Voskhod 1 spacecraft, the first spacecraft to carry a multi-person crew, the first to carry a scientist or physician into space. 1979, Del Rey releases the science fiction novel Roadmarks by Roger Zelzany as a hardcover. In Roadmarks, the central theme is time travel using a highway that links all times and possible histories. But where we're going, we don't need roads. 1988, Del Rey publishes the science fiction novel Dragon's Dawn by Anne McCaffrey as a hardcover. 1993, Touchstone Pictures releases the stop-motion animated feature film The Nightmare Before Christmas, directed by Henry Selick, starring the voice talents of Chris Sarandon, Denny Elfman, Catherine O'Hara, William Hickey, Glenn Shadix, and Paul Rubens. 1994, NASA loses radio contact with the Magellan spacecraft as it descends into the thick atmosphere of Venus. 2001, Lionsgate's film releases the horror film Dagon, not Dragon, directed by Stuart Gordon, starring Ezra Godin, Francisco Rabal, and Raquel Monero. It's based on the H.P. Lovecraft novel The Shadow Over Innsmouth. 2005, the second Chinese human space flight, Shenzhou 6, launched carrying Fei Zhulong and Ni Haislang, goes up for 5 days in orbit. And see, here's where he'd say something funny, and I'd go, birthdays? Josh Hutcherson is 26 from Polar Express, Zathura, Bridge to Terabithia, Journey to the Center of the Earth, and PETA in Hunger Games. Tyler Blackburn is 32 from Pretty Little Liars and Ravenswood. Brian J. Smith is 37 from Stargate Universe and Sense 8. Kirk Cameron is 48 years of age from Growing Pains like Father Like Son, Left Behind, He's a Nut Job. Deborah Foreman is 56 years of age, Valley Girl, Real Genius, April Fool's Day, Waxwork. Carlos Bernard is 56, Tony on 24. 10.5 Apocalypse, CSI Miami. David Threlfall is 65 from Hot Fuzz, Shameless, and Ripper Street. No longer with us, born in the state in 1860, Elmer Ambrose Sperry co-invented the gyro compass. 1875, Aleister Crowley, English magician and author. 1903, Josephine Hutchinson from Son of Frankenstein and North by Northwest. 1924, Doris Grau from Cheers, Distinguished Gentleman, Doris on The Critic, and Lunch Lady Doris on The Simpsons. 1932, Dick Gregory, a comedian. He was in House Party, Panther. The man was a legend, and you are missed indeed, sir. Tonight, though, a bunch of stuff you don't want to miss. I mean, everything on TV tonight is just amazing. Look at CBS, a new MacGyver, Hawaii Five-0, Blue Bloods. ABC, it's a new Fresh Off the Boat. Speechless, a new Child Support in 2020. NBC's got a new Blind Spot and Dateline, NBC. Fox, it's a new Last Man Standing because it's on there now. Then Cool Kids and Hell's Kitchen. The CW, it's a new Dynasty and Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Imagine if there was a dynasty of just crazy ex-girlfriends. Freeform is showing Frozen. A&E has a new live PID. FX will be showing Hotel Transylvania and 2, because they're doing that pretty much almost every day this week, and PRS seems to enjoy them. FXX The Simpsons, you've got the Regina monologues, 'Tis the 15th Season, and Milhouse Doesn't Live Here Anymore. FXN will be showing Tooken 2, the Tookening. History Channel has a marathon of Ancient Aliens Declassified. Get all the information all together, all at one time. It's the best way. BBC America has an X-Files marathon, but apparently no really amazing episodes because it didn't write any down. Paramount's got the Bellator MMA Live. Hot, sweaty men grappling each other. Sci-Fi Channel. Warren embarks on a journey to Numerica to reunite with the other heroes on a new Z Nation. That's followed by a new Van Helsing. TBS, E-League, CSGO, Premiere 2018 Grand Finale. How is it the premiere if we're already at the end? It doesn't... TNT's got American Sniper. Science Channel, a marathon of unearthing ancient secrets, but we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network. When her boyfriend Oliver is away on a last-minute business trip, Annie's pulled over by police for a traffic violation, but she's driving Oliver's car, and they discover a bloody knife in the back and start to investigate. Annie's panicked, and she calls Oliver, who disappears, and the police have no record of Oliver existing anywhere, so Annie has to find out what's going on, who her boyfriend really is, before she's wrongly accused of a murder he may have committed. Emily Rose, John Shea, and Brad Johnson star in Boyfriend's Deceit.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what soap opera's Billy Flynn is doing today. It's your Days of Our Lives Chad update.
Lucas and Chloe break the news to Kate about Bonnie's baby. That baby is really Sean Wayans. Sup, little man? Nicole and Eric make love. I mean reunite. Mimi decides she's no longer playing Bonnie's game. She prefers Mario Party. Sorry, but I'm having so damn much fun. Kristen tends to a mysterious patient covered in bandages, which means one of the allegedly dead people are coming back. You know who I'm betting on that. It's probably going to be EJ, but you don't know that Jack Devereaux isn't under there. Hashtag champion forever.
Looks like you've got mail waiting.
Indeed we do. Hey, geeks, cartoon doesn't always mean animation. In my case, I sent you a still comic strip in response to Rich's fake news about some university students needing instruction so as not to wreck the toilets on campus. I sent a comic strip that featured two cats trying to clear a commode blockage that rises above the waterline in the bowl, a mountain of paper and, stuff. Two cats wearing gas masks try plungers. They use small crane on their little electric maintenance vehicle to hoist the commode off the floor. That way they can use a power auger. As they work, the two cats comment about people who are so thoughtless. And I'm always concerned that people who use that much paper do so with the thought that if they use enough paper, they don't have to wash their hands. Ew! That is from Bill, who has provided us with the link that you can find over in the show. It's at geekradiodaily.com, so you can see the magicalness that is there. And for people looking on handheld screens, he's working on a responsive update to the site. So thank you, Bill, very much for your cartoon, which can mean other things, because you shouldn't be so close-minded. Also of note, Charming Underclothes presents the Rocky Horror Picture Show, a live Shadowcast experience at the Ix Art Park in Charlottesville, Virginia. Doors open tonight at 8 o'clock. Showtime is 9 o'clock. There is a Halloween costume contest. You can win two tickets to the Gothic Paradise, Charlottesville Goth Night on Halloween night, featuring DJs Angel Metro, Pat 626, EBM Industrial Recording Artist, Die Skeletor. It's $10. You get the tickets online. You pick them up at the door. It's going to cost you
$15, little man. Put that shit in my hand. If that money doesn't show, then you owe me, oh.
So go look at the cartoon, go see that show, tell us about how all of those things are by sending a note to podcast at geekradiodaily.com. You can also just wax on poetically, if you wish, by dialing the magical voicemail number of
510-GRD-CROW.
And I believe both of those things are still free.
Okay, you know what it's like. You're flicking through Amazon or the local DVD shop, when suddenly you discover a film that you haven't seen in years, but which you remember as being legendary. A purchase is hastily made, you invite friends over, make popcorn and settle down to watch this classic. But then it becomes apparent that your mind has double-crossed you, and that this film is frankly awful. Soon your friends have deserted you, your boss says he has to let you go, and even your dog won't come when you call. How did it go so wrong? Well, in the interests of public harmony, a new podcast, I Saw That Years Ago, sets out to watch the old films that your memory has convinced you are brilliant, but which in reality could be anything but. So join me, your host Martin Darkley, and my compatriot, Gentleman Joe, as we watch the old films so you don't have to. Find us at www.isawthatyearsago.com or on iTunes.
Hi, this is Alan Ruck, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily. For all us geeks. Okay, bye.
Well, bye and hello, and wherever you're at, welcome to it from any perspective you might be in right now. Ah, wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
I got an idea for a movie.
Doesn't everybody?
But of course they do, and there's all kinds of stuff out today. In limited release, a psychological thriller that tells the story of Maria, an alienated high school student whose life is turned upside down when she switches places with her sinister mirror image. India Isley, Mira Sorvino, and Jason Isaacs star in Look Away! Opening nationwide, focusing on the characters and storylines featured in the Goosebumps series of novels, it's Jack Black, Madison Eisman, Ben O'Brien, and Goosebumps Haunted Halloween. We're not even trying to sell you on it because you're going to bring your kids to see it. Seven strangers, each with a secret to bury, meet at Lake Tahoe's El Royale, a rundown hotel with a dark past. Over the course of one fateful night, everyone will have a last shot at redemption before everything goes to hell. Chris Hemsworth, Jeff Bridges, Kaylee Spaney star in Bad Times at the El Royale. Or check out the riveting story of NASA's mission to land a man on the moon, focusing on Neil Armstrong in the years 61 to 69. Ryan Gosling, Kyle Chandler, Corey Stoll star in the first man is what they call that. But if you don't want to dress like an astronaut, you can always head down to New Orleans because Svengoolie is showing a gypsy queen who tries to kill a couple that know she is a werewolf. See Henry Levin direct Nina Foch, Osa Masson, Barton McLean, and other people you've never heard of in 1944's Cry of the Werewolf.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News! It sounds so weird without somebody else there. So DC is playing to their strengths, and not everyone's having as much fun with their films as I do, but their TV's killing it. They got 5 shows on the CW that feature DC characters. Fox has 1 more season of Gotham. Sci-Fi's about to premiere the 2nd season of Krypton. And In My Dreams, and In a Parallel Universe, season 2 of Powerless is right around the corner. Somewhere it is. Don't tell me different. CBS tried with Supergirl before sending it to the Arrowverse, but now CBS is trying again. This time with Secret Six. The project has received a pilot production commitment by the network. The Secret Six are a group of morally ambiguous strangers with specific talents and specialities with secret past. They're blackmailed and brought together by an enigmatic person to work together to expose the corruption of the corporate and political elite. So Suicide Squad light. You know, the team is composed of several different characters. Bane's been part of it. Harley Quinn, Lex Luthor, Mad Hatter, Penguin are all alumni. No word yet on which characters the writers have chosen to work with. But you know, like Supergirl, I give this 1 season on CBS before it goes over to the CW. That way we can redo Flashpoint and dip into the multiverse for the Secret Seven, because I always got me a plan to get Zatanna on a screen. Now to recharge your childhood a bit, Universal Soldier, the 1992 action film that launched a series of better-than-they-had-any-right-to-be direct-to-DVD sequels, now is up for a reboot. Richard Wank, the screenwriter of The Equalizer, says he's about to turn in a script for a reimagining of the film, which focused on 2 dead Vietnam War soldiers, Jean-Claude Van Damme and Dolph Lundgren, brought back to life to be super soldiers of the 90s. The original film came to us from Independence Day director Roland Emmerich, featured Van Damme and Lundgren as the reanimated soldiers, becoming unstoppable killing machines, and a surprisingly bleak film for such a goofy premise that launched the inevitable franchise. The first sequel, The Return, was awful and should be returned, but then a weird thing happened. The sequels, Regeneration, Day of Reckoning, were really good, and Day of Reckoning was fascinating. It was a brutal, bizarre film that took a lot of elements from Apocalypse Now. The writer says, I will say that I'm just finishing up a reimagining. Let's be clear, it's not a remake, it's not a redo. It's a reimagining of a movie called Universal Soldier. Very much like The Equalizer, it's the title that inspired me and not the movies. I'm just about to finish the script and turn it in this week. The title inspired you? That means it's going to have very little to do with the original. It'll pretty much just be an in-name-only sequel. The Sting 2 of the franchise, if you will. I doubt really there's anyone who loves the franchise enough to be upset about a drastic change, but who knows? There could be, and hopefully he's coming up with something good, but you gotta hope that he channels the batshit insanity of the direct-to-DVD sequels, because that's the only way they can promise us a Van Damme good time. And since you're still in the warm nostalgic glow, let's wade a little deeper in it, shall we? Last month, the Wonderful Place Internet Archive, archive.org, added a Commodore 64 emulator to its ever-growing library of historical software, effectively bringing the retro computer/game console to the public domain. Like archive.org's libraries of MS-DOS and Apple II programs, every program they've archived is now available on the site and playable in your browser, which means I should be playing Jumpman right now! Anyway, so far, the archive has uploaded more than 15,000 programs, 9,000 games, the Commodore 64 catalog has a plethora of classic games, Donkey Kong, Ms. Pac-Man, Space Invaders. If you need a place to start, they've curated a showcase highlighting some of the essentials. Now, after the Commodore 64 launched in 82, it helped popularize the personal computer. Technically, it's a PC, but it's all about gaming. It helped modern console gaming come about. Warning, though, every game has its own default control mapping, and many of them are not intuitive. Some, like Donkey Kong, start up with no controls assigned, but you can set your own controls very easily. But since you're loading the game from a browser, you will need to remap your controls every single time you play. Now, that looks like a bigger hassle than it actually is. You do it a couple times, it's easy. So ready your laser squad, make them part of the elite, and keep the Turrican at bay, or else it's going to be mayhem in Monsterland. Now this story is best prefaced with, I told you so, because I told you, once streaming services started, everyone would want to do one. And now Warner Media, which owns DC and its streaming service, will now have its own streaming service. And I know you're not supposed to cross the streams, but here really they're splitting the stream, and that's not good either. At the Vanity Fair New Establishment Summit in L.A., Warner Media CEO John Stankey unveiled their plans to enter the streaming competition against the likes of Netflix and Disney, the latter of which is launching its streaming service late next year. But dig this. According to the report, it's going to be fronted by HBO, which means you'll need to have an HBO service and that it will come with additional bundles depending on which Warner Media brands you want to add on. And as far as pricing goes, that's still not clear, but it will be more expensive than the current cost of HBO Now, which is
$15, little man, put that shit in my hand. If that money doesn't show, then you owe me, oh.
Any day you get to use that twice. If you're worried there will be no original content for the service, well, don't be. They plan to spend just as much as Netflix, about $8 billion on content. Now look, I am torn on this. I don't know whether to scream boo or shame, because look, I can't stand microtransactions in games. And now you start a streaming service after you launched a streaming service specifically for your comic book side properties, and you don't want to make that a part of it and make me pay for two things? You absolutely know what I'm going to say.
That is what we call a dick move.
You van damn right. Most planets have moons. Sure. But did you know that moons could have moons? And that makes sense. I mean, wait, what? Yeah, moons can have moons, and a moon's moon is called a moon. Well, according to some anyway, but astronomers Sean Raymond and Juna Kollmeyer say they're happy with any of the proposed terms, which is moons, submoons, moonitos, moonettes, moons, with a lot of O's. The International Astronomical Union will have to decide, Kollmeyer said, although let's be honest, Neil deGrasse Tyson is going to pick whatever the hell he wants anyway. The two scientists are currently working on a paper called Can Moons Have Moons?, which they've posted to AirXIV for feedback prior to submission. If you've never heard of a moon, it's because no one's ever seen one before. But that doesn't mean, as Kollmeyer and Raymond argue in their paper, that a small moon orbiting a larger moon, which in turn orbits a planet, can't exist. Their analysis suggests that moons are possible under the right circumstances. If, for instance, the large moon is quite large, the small moon quite small, and both are far away from the host planet, sure, moons that are too close to the planet risk losing their submoons to tidal forces from that planet, resulting in the submoon being shredded up, shot into space, or sent careening off course and potentially crashing into the moon and its planet. Since putting the paper up for feedback, the internet's gone crazy for moons, at least in part due to the wonderful name, which is equally parts stupid and charming. So brace yourself. Moon memes are coming, as are the dumb jokes about, can a moon have a moon? Because if so, that'd be a moon. And you just know at the next Caltech office party, Raj is going to get drunk and do some karaoke going, when the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. Whatever they decide to name it, though, we do know one thing. M-O-O-N. That spells moon. GRD is licensed with the Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works, 9 States, 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. You'll see us at youtube.com/geekradiodaily. There's always something fascinatingly interesting there. You'll enjoy it immensely. And drop us a note. Remember, you got to talk cartoon. You got to talk the shadow cast that Charming Underclothes is doing tonight. Let us know how great that went by dropping a note to podcast@geekradiodaily.com or sending us a voicemail to
510-GRD-GRILL.
And as long as all the internet stuff is patched, things should be back to whatever qualifies as normal the next time we get back together. So enjoy that. I know I will.
What do you think?
It stinks.
Man, game over, man. Game over.
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
I'm going.
The world is not in your books and maps. It's out there.
Lunch, Lady Doris. Have you got any grease?
Yes. Yes, we do.
Then grease me up, woman!
Okie dokie. Yon meat to sweet as summer's wafting breeze.
Can I answer?
Mine ears are open only to the pleas of those who speak ye old English.
Sweet maiden of the spit, grant now my boon, that I might sup upon suckling pig this noon.
Whatever.
Excuse me, isn't there anything here that doesn't have meat in it?
Possibly the meatloaf.
Well, I believe you're required to provide a vegetarian alternative.
Yum. It's rich in bunly goodness.
Do you remember when you lost your passion for this work?
Lunch Lady Doris, why are you here?
Budget cuts. They've even got groundskeeper Willie teaching French.
Bonjour, you cheese-eating surrender monkeys!
Look, my stomach really hurts.
All I can give you are these chewable Prozac for kids. Your choice. Manic depressive mouse or the bluebird of unhappiness.